Hey, welcome to the Darth Furnace podcast, presented by me, Alex, and Jamie, who's there.
Hello, Jamie.
Hi. Hey.
So this is our podcast where we invite anyone who cares to listen along with us on our Darth Running adventures, where we run daftly in events we probably shouldn't be involved in, but nevertheless find ourselves in. So this is episode 10. Or X, if you're into that numbering system, where we're actually not actually discussing a race we've just done, which a few of our podcasts now have covered. We're actually looking at the prep for a race coming up this weekend. So a new kind of format for us. So we've got the Deerstalker coming up on Saturday. So we're going to have a bit of a chat about that. So aside from the panic that we're currently have because of my injury of the knee recently, or not injury, but trouble, and Jamie's lack of preparation and training, I guess. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, still got that problem. That's not gone. Still lack of preparation and training, but, yeah. I guess, yeah. Yes. We're going to do some kit prep this time, which I think is quite important because, if you know have the gear, you still can have an idea, and that kind of works on a couple of levels. So I guess it was interesting last year because we were supposed to run this event, but something happened, and we all know this is the Beast from the East, and so it's an extremely inclement weather in the Scottish Borders in Elphin, which is where this is held. Apologies if I pronounced that wrong, but some extremely kind of extreme weather for the UK kind of really forced the organisers of this event to cancel it. And we got a kind of entry to come this year. So, looking at the weather, I think it was kind of huge amounts of snow kind of came in very, very short notice. And there's the red warnings and people were on alert in terms of rescuers around. And I thought the event organisers felt it was just too much of a risk. This time around, thankfully, the Storm Gareth doesn't seem to have as much of a potential to disrupt the event as...
Sorry,
as,
Storm Gareth.
Yes. So the storm is called Storm Gareth.
I guess I never really associated Gareth with storming, but...
I really wish I knew somebody called Gareth so I could make fun of him, because Gareth seems like somebody who's probably a very nice guy. And yeah. It would be very enjoyable to make fun of him for having a storm named after him. And being completely inappropriate.
maybe it's a very gentle storm. Gentle breeze, maybe.
Yes, yeah, so kind of going to the weather, it seems to be a very gentle, moderate breeze at the time we're running, which sounds lovely, actually. Sounds like we're going to have a great time.
Sorry if you are a Gareth and a generally very stormy and angry type person, and this isn't in any way offensive, but we're meant to be kind. I think it's kind of backfired potentially. I'm sure.
Yeah, what if our only viewers are called Gareth and there's three of them? We'll be in trouble.
And we've lost Gareth. There we go. No, come back. You're strong, Gareth. Yeah. You're a powerhouse.
You're stronger than the storm, yeah. Which is only gentle and moderate. So I guess the weather kind of does play a part into what kind of kit you wear, and it's going to be sleet showers in a moderate breeze. Temperature's going to range from about 5 centigrade down to potentially 1 or 2. So it's not going to be too bad. And wind speed's probably about 15 miles an hour. So we're starting about 6 o'clock, just before sunset. So it should be a fairly, fairly good time to start. I don't think we'll see any sun saying that. I think it'll probably be raining. But there
raining
we go.
Or snowing. Will it get to snow, do you think?
It's going to snow sleet about 10 o'clock, and hopefully by then we'll be finished.
Okay, that's perfect.
I really hope we'll be finished by that time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, does that mean it's not going to rain before? What do you think? It'll just be cloudy, preparing to rain.
No, it's definitely going to rain. It's got some...
That sucks.
So percentage chance of rain is kind of in the mid-90s for most of the day.
I feel like the whole of Scotland should probably tune into our podcast, because ultimately we are giving certainty on the weather update for the coming weekend, which I'm pretty sure most meteorological experts would be unable to do. So we got some certainty right here.
Let's just hope nobody from Gareth from Scotland is listening. Let's just hope that. Who's got a degree in meteorology of some kind. Yeah, cool. So I guess, yeah, what should we talk about next? So the weather update's done. And again, yeah. I think I should probably a chance to change careers for me there. But I guess, should we talk a little bit about the kind of a kit list we've put together?
I think maybe we mentioned another podcast, but one of the main things about this is one, it takes place at night. As Jamie said, we start at 6 and we'll be running into the night. And mostly up and down hills. So there is a bit of kit necessity in this. And part of that, of course, and the one thing, and it's actually like in bold at the top of all the emails and the essential kit list is a head torch, because of course we're in trails, in the hills, in the dark, and so visibility is a problem unless you have a head torch. So we will indeed be running with our head torches.
Smart move.
Important thing to make sure you have batteries and you're not running around boots at the very last minute to try and pick them up before jumping on the bus to the race start, Jamie.
What?
And maybe even a spare head torch. I think I've got 2 still, unless I gave one away when I was being generous. I think taking a spare head torch to the start line might be a good thing to do, just in case. It's always good to have redundancy. And of course, one of the things that is, I think, is particularly key when you're going, doing a lot of kind of up and down hill through very tight trails, is gloves. You tend to have to kind of reach out and stop yourself or break yourself with your hands. And if you have like a good pair of gloves, like some tough, I'm not sure what the word is really, but they're just kind of tough workout or trail running gloves. Not quite the ones that you break yourself with if you're a longboarder running down like a really steep hill. If that made sense to anybody, but it's a thing. Kind of breaking yourself on the trees is quite handy thing to do when it's very steep. As well as, you know, maybe you just fall over and you don't want to scuff your hands on the hard stones and stuff that tend to be on the ground or trees. You know, I've got very delicate hands and like to protect them.
They're fabulous. You have delightful cuticles.
Thank you. I don't even know what those are, to be honest, but I'm pretty sure you're correct.
So yeah, there's a few times, there's a few rope sections as well, which when I was doing it, I had really wishing for gloves, because I kind of felt myself sliding down. It was a very muddy, wet rope. I think gloves would be really...
Is there ropes? I haven't trained on ropes in ages.
I think it's just where you kind of go down a kind of a steep bit and you've got ropes there to help you.
So. Oh, yeah, of course, because it's kind of like, just the ropes going down so you can kind of lower yourself a bit more controlled than the standard. Whoa!
Exactly. But again, there's a few days left. This is our usual time to train, isn't it? Our 3 days? 3-day training program.
That feels good. Yeah. My ankle's a bit sore, though. But
well, so it's knee last week, it's ankle this week. What's going on, Alex? What's going on?
My legs just don't want to do this anymore. Sorry, Jim. I'll just see you at the finish line. It'll be fine.
It's all right. I'm sure you can do a podcast on chicken and waffles.
Exactly. Chicken and waffles. It's the big thing right now. And if you've not had chicken and waffles before, I definitely recommend it. Unless you're vegan, in which case you can't have either of those things. But there are vegan options available in London for chicken and waffles. I don't quite understand it, but they're there. So feel free to Google that, because I've already closed the email about it.
So you've alienated one person called Gareth, and the other person called Gareth's really interested. It's weird. We have one Gareth left.
To be honest, I think that's a good number to have for any podcast. One Gareth.
Just one Gareth.
Yeah, so you want to have an abundance of Gareths. That'd be a gaggle of Gareths. Is that the, call them in a group?
Surely it'd be a storm of Gareths. Yeah. That's the appropriate collective noun for storm of Gareths.
Okay.
Topical humour.
I'm breaking up inside with all the You're trying to hold that laughter in. It's crazy.
You're welcome.
Painful, in fact.
Okay, enough of that. Back to the kit list, Alex.
That's it. Yeah, what are we talking? Yeah, well, what do we actually need to make sure we take? Because I mean, it's a trail run. Trail shoes.
Definitely trail shoes.
Hands down. Also, beer money, because there is a beer tent at the end. And we don't want to take the free Wainwright beer because it's not that great, in my opinion. I mean, I'm sure someone likes it because they've been around for years. And always giving it away free. I'm baffled, to be honest. But yeah, Wainwright beer is not particularly my taste. Any thoughts on Wainwright beer, Jamie?
Well, it's named after that famous walker and hiker, or British fell walker. So, I mean, maybe there's that kind of spiritual connection of exploring the countryside. But the problem with it is it is genuinely not very nice. So, I mean, I definitely appreciate Wainwright and the kind of the walks that he's put together and the history and so on. It's just I really don't like the beer.
It's named after him. I mean, it's not necessarily insulting the person directly, are you?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So, I mean, imagine when we're famous and that we have a variety of objects named after us in terms, you know, for branding purposes. Alex and Jamie's waffles, chicken and waffles. I'm sure if people said they were disgusting, I wouldn't be offended, but I just know that won't be the case because chicken and waffles is amazing. So.
I don't know. You know, yours might be a bit too fatty and tasteless, but
yeah. Oh my God, burn. Burn.
Was that a sick burn? I don't
that
even
was
know.
A sick burn. We haven't even started running yet. I'm not used to that.
deep, painful burn.
It's deep, so deep. Cool. So I think one very important thing then is to make sure we run very quickly so we don't miss all the beer. We don't have to resort to going outside to drink the Wainwright beer.
Exactly. So just don't hold back on the downhills. Just roll with it. You may pick up some injuries, but it's fine because beer is like paracetamol, I understand. So, you know, what is it, Jamie? It's like two paracetamol from a pint. Is that it?
Oh, I think I saw that article. I think you're right. Yeah.
So, you know, we'll be having about 20 paracetamol at least. So we'll be good.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
I mean, you can overdose on paracetamol. I mean, that's not a great idea.
Yeah, you should probably drink beer instead of paracetamol. Yeah.
Safer option.
Safer, yeah. Just not Wainwright beer. So the other thing was tweed. So the tweed's optional, isn't it? So they do recommend wearing tweed. Yeah. But, I mean, I got really hot. It's very cold last time we did it, and I still got really hot doing the race, so I'm not sure how much tweed would be that useful. I guess if it's really cold, then that would probably be okay.
Guess. I mean, I don't really like the thought of running in quite heavy clothing at the best of times, so if it's raining, then I can't imagine tweed is the best, like, wicking material. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know a lot about tailoring materials.
I think it's all about testing it, isn't it? It's about practice, isn't it? If we practice with... if we practice...
I'm sitting here. I'm about a franchise player. You're talking about practice.
So maybe we should practice this year with tweed and then a year after without tweed.
Not a game. Not a game.
It's not a game.
Yeah, so that probably Gareth, the last remaining Gareth, probably left because that made no sense to him. But this is like a 10-year-old meme. So,
yeah, I mean, that's
a decade marker on that one.
Yeah, so it's 10 years ago. It was kind of in the zeitgeist. Now it's kind of outside the zeitgeist now, isn't it? It's no longer.
Yeah. So check out Press Hop on the YouTubes. It's still there. We checked.
Cool. So I mean, so any other kit ideas? I guess anything else we should mention? So yeah, got the bare essentials there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a thing of like, well, I was wearing waterproofs if it's raining, so I probably need to take a jacket. I need a better one than the one I did the Stinger in, because the Stinger one was basically the only reason I even have a waterproof running jacket is because it was a piece of mandatory kit the first year that I did the Man versus Mountain, which I'm sure we'll get to in due course. But yeah, I was basically just scraping the bottom of the barrel of like what is on sale and waterproof and meets all the standards, and ended up with like an XL or maybe a double XL jacket. This thing is huge. So looking back over the photographs for the Sterling Stinger, I basically look like I'm wearing a bin liner, and that's fairly accurate in terms of what that is. So I probably need to pick up something a bit more, you know, correctly sized and well form fitting, you know, because I think on the downhill, maybe that would actually help. If, you know, having that extra amount of material, kind of like a braking, so I don't actually have to use the ropes and just like sprint down. And maybe even I'll be able to, you know, those people who do like base jumping in the wingsuits, I could probably do that. And just like sort of float down to the finish line and pick up the beer.
Yeah. Isn't like most people who do that regularly, haven't they died? Most people do the base jumping.
I believe pretty much all of them have died, yeah. Anyone who's like innovating, it was some random fact I heard somewhere. But yeah, I believe that they've all died. But I'm sure I can master it, having never tried it before, and be fine. I mean, it's a high risk thing in the first place, and so the more times you do it, then the more likelihood is that it's going to go wrong, right?
Mm.
I'm only planning to do it once, so you know,
just as well,
just once.
So, I mean, the added advantage is if you go down hills quicker, then you'll be at the beer tent quicker as well. So.
It's a big reward, risk reward, you know. Pretty big.
And when you get back, obviously they've got some changes. A tent where you can change in. So I mean, I suggest bringing a dry robe to kind of help with that. Make sure you're warm while you're changing.
Yeah. What's a dry robe, Jamie? Maybe you need to explain what a dry robe is. Is it a common material? A common piece of dress wear now?
I think so. Okay, some events have been out. Basically, it's just a kind of Google dry robe, or there's a few other brands out there, but it's like wearing a kind of hooded towel, like a towel cape that so you can
like
wear.
A dressing gown.
Keeps you warm.
Is it a dressing gown?
It's like a dressing gown, but with a hood, which keeps you warm.
I mean, my dressing gown has a hood. I'm just saying.
Well, good for you. You'd be up there with your pedestal. having a kind of lovely dressing gown with a hood.
But I mean, it's not just the dressing gown, is it? Because it's got a towel interior, but is it waterproof on the outside? I've seen a few of them going around, but it kind of feels like that should be waterproof. Is it?
Yes, the one I've got's not waterproof. It's just a kind of towel exterior as well, but there are some with waterproof as well. So
you're wearing a dressing gown, is what you're saying?
Yes, Alex, I'm wearing a towel dressing gown.
Okay. Maybe I'm thinking of a different thing. The thing that people have been wearing, which is typically branded with a race brand, like the Nuclear Races or Bunker Races or whatever, they're, to me, look like ankle length hooded dressing gowns, but with like a waterproof shell on the outside. They look very cozy, very thick, very comfortable. But what you're describing with a fabric exterior, that just sounds like a dressing gown to me. Am I mixing my terms up? Is dry robe somewhere in between those two extremes?
I think there's probably just different versions of it. So I imagine there's probably a few different things that they produce. One of which is the kind of towel thing I've got, and then the other one is where you've got like a proof exterior. So I think it's just different versions of each thing. But I mean, I'm not going to kind of demand that people obey certain naming conventions around how they describe clothing. You know,
I'm just confused. I'm maybe ignorant. You know, I haven't done enough research on dry robes or something. I just saw, you know, or heard rather, you say dry robe, and I was like, well, is that the thing? Because I'm not sure. I don't know. To me, what you're describing is a dressing gown. Just saying.
Okay.
I'll inspect it on Saturday and let you know, and maybe help the guys who listen to the podcast actually you know, understand this whole dry robe business. I think maybe a whole episode on dry robes is required.
Yeah, I did not know I was getting that many questions about dry robes. Well, it's good. It's good. It's all good.
Just like my last job interview. Yeah. Just going on a dressing gown. What the hell's with this guy?
Cool. But I guess the kit stuff aside, is there kind of anything funny you remember about the race from a couple of years ago?
Only the slide at the end was probably the most fun thing. I vaguely recall kind of like you can fly over the mud at the end. It's fantastic. I think you also need to be careful to make sure you have some level of control, because my strategy was to put my arms up and out to my sides and kind of pretend I was a plane and use my torso to be able to direct myself around obstacles or people who are just kind of meandering in my way, or just slow themselves. But I think you had a different tactic, didn't you?
Yeah, I just basically speared myself down and nearly killed three people. But it was all fine. I was kind of just going down, and suddenly when you realize, oh God, I don't know how to stop. At that point in time, I think we'd been a few hours up in the mountains the Scottish border hills, and was not in the right space of mind to think quick. And I didn't. Hmm. I genuinely killed someone. So yeah, watch out for that.
Jamie's cannonball plummeting towards the finish line.
Yeah.
That's it. Which this year, actually, they have a double stalker as well. If it wasn't for my leg playing up the last couple of weeks, I think I may have actually suggested trying to go for the double stalker. Any thoughts on that, Jamie?
Yeah, I remember it being really tough when we did it before. It's 16 miles and it is tough. There's quite a lot of ascent, but I mean, that's kind of the name of the game with these things, isn't it? So I probably would have been open-minded. We might have needed to get a bit of an earlier. I'm not sure if doing the double stalker means... Yeah, maybe it kind of allows you to start earlier as a result. So I think I probably would have been keen for it. It would have been really tough.
Especially we're going to be 60 miles next month, mate. So
yeah, indeed. If we can't say we can't do this, then
it's 60 miles, right? It's not 60 kilometers, the Tour of Iran.
Yeah, yeah.
It's 60 miles. This event is 16 kilometers.
I thought it was 16 miles,
kilometers versus 60 miles. They say roughly 15 kilometers because they never actually tell you the final distance. In my mind, I think it's kind of like about 18 kilometers based on the last time we did it.
Hmm. Yeah, fair enough. I think it took me about 3.5 hours to get around.
It's a very challenging course.
So, yeah. I mean, I'd say it's more difficult than the half marathon, definitely.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one. So I think I probably want to check. We've got GPS watches. Actually, you had your Apple Watch last time. So it came about 16, 18 kilometers.
I don't think I did have it then. I think that was a bit too long ago. I don't think I did, mate.
So interesting about this race, obviously, they're all kind of secretive in terms of the times. And I think Rat Race are a bit guilty of misflagging their distance markers out of a sense of mischief, I think, rather than potentially incompetence, I guess. But it's as part of the kind of the advertising of this race as well, they do kind of ham up the distance, kind of could be anything really. So I think I'll be interested to see exactly how long it is afterwards. They might have it on the website, just saying that. Shall I have a quick look? Central information.
I'm just looking back. Like March in 2017, one workout recorded on a Sunday. Oh, it's a Saturday though, isn't it? So no, I don't have any workouts recorded in 2017 for the Saturday. Sorry, just headbutt the mic there. standard podcasting practice. Make sure you headbutt the mic.
Okay, so I've got a blurb here about a laird inviting Rat Race to the estates, the Scottish borders, with the promise of setting about creating a unique mountain run in the dark. with natural obstacles and a few brisk river crossings. And he described it as a 10K. And so apparently this is a rounding exercise after a whiskey or two. that could mean anything. So I don't think so they say it's definitely going to be over 14 kilometers, I guess, but they don't actually specifically say how far it's going to be. But we'll find out.
I feel like it was like between 16 and 18 kilometers.
Fair enough.
I want to say that. I'm going to go with that.
Cool. 16 to 18. We can always flag after the fact in the next podcast, can't we? So.
Mm. Yeah. So if we were doing the double, a 30-kilometer run seems like that would have been, that we should, to be honest, we've got like 4 weeks until we're supposed to do 60 miles. So like we should be in a position where 30 kilometers is a breeze, man.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not, but we should be.
I believe in us, Alex. I think we can do it.
one benefit I've just seen on the essential info. So if you do a double stalker, you have a pit stop with hot tea and snacks before your second lap. If you just do the regular one or the half stalker, you just get a water stop. So, you know.
Yeah, you are a sucker for a biscuit, aren't you?
I mean, hell yeah.
Okay, so I don't know. Are we able to jump up now? Can we ask them to?
I don't know. Maybe we can do it at the registration. Trying to see if there's anything in here about what the cutoffs are for the double stalker.
This would cut down on our drinking time, though. I have to realise.
That kind of sucks. Okay, cut-off times. Cut-off time, blah, 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 blah. For the double stalker, you must start your second lap by the time the 6:30 wave starts. So, because we start at 6, we will have 30 minutes to do an 18-kilometer hill course. Maybe that's special.
Yeah, so there's a special wave start for the double steer stalker at 3:30. So I think you need to be at 3:30 there.
Oh, man.
So you've got 3 hours. So actually, the first time we did this, I wouldn't have made it anyway. But I think I like to go slightly fitter nowadays, but yeah.
No, it's all entropy now, mate. You're all downhill. Sorry.
Age gets us in the end, doesn't it?
Yeah. So I mean, we'll just have to do the regular one like a normal person, and get drunk hopefully earlier than not. So, I mean, if we start at 6, and like be generous and give ourselves 3 hours to do it, yeah, you know, that's we're good by 9. And I get quite sleepy quite early nowadays, especially when someone's made me get up at 5:30 in the morning to catch a train to Scotland. You know, so probably a good thing to finish a bit earlier. Just doing a little short jaunt in the hills.
Sounds like fun to me.
Yeah, but it's a really fun race. I do enjoy it, and the you know, some of the fun parts. It's a good atmosphere. People, some people wearing tweed, some people wearing considerably less, but also carrying a radio, dancing, just generally a good time on the course. And then of course at the after party that's hosted in the beer tent, which serves not only just Rain White ale, but also lager and wine as well, apparently. So, you know, it should be a wild time. Looking forward to it.
Definitely.
Any other fun memories you'd like to share before we we have to face the inevitable journey up?
Only that there's lots of fun memories we're going to make at the weekend. Probably not involving the running, but we can talk about that when we return.
I'm not sure. I want to know. So what? What have you got in mind?
We have to make a friend called Gareth while we're out there.
At least one.
Yeah.
At least excuse one. Me, are you called Gareth?
Exactly.
Well, you are called Gareth. Then please get in touch at podcast@daftrunners.com.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Cool. So I guess that'll do for today. And yeah, even if you're not called Gareth, please feel free to drop us a line at podcast@daftrunners.com or check out just our site at daftrunners.com, where we do post some really fun stuff like the race reports and this podcast. So, I mean, maybe this is actually where you found this podcast, in which case, like, hey, isn't it cool? Drop us a line. Yeah, but other than that, we'll be back after the Deerstalker with a report on how that went and all the memories we created running and not running, if Jamie has his way, I guess. I don't know.
I'm going to try as run as much as possible, honestly. Yeah.
Anyhow, ciao for now. Thanks, guys.
Cheers, bye.